Greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. That great God of heaven, that is grace, mercy, and peace, but He's also a God of justice. He can't tolerate sin. And as I think about our Sunday school lesson, and think about Adam and Eve's sin and the consequences it brought to their life, and there's consequences for sin. And then we came to Cain, and there's consequences for sin. And so that's the God we serve today. May God help us to realize that aspect of God as well, that He is a God of mercy and grace, but He's also a God of justice. You can turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 3 for a message this morning. Ezekiel was a man that was called of God to be a priest, a prophet, and to bring a word to the people. And as I pondered what to share for this morning, I thought I didn't have any messages that maybe I'd shared before. I thought I was at the point of pulling a whole new message together. And I pretty much did that. But as I was pondering what to share, excuse me for giving you the details that come with it, but I was scrolling through messages I shared, and I came across this message that I preached from Ezekiel chapter 3. And I don't think I ever shared it here, but if I did, and I didn't find it in my notes, forgive me for that. But it's a message that as I came across it, I just felt the Lord calling. This is a message to preach here this morning. And I didn't know it tied so closely with what their Sunday school lesson is. I read the Sunday school lesson and thought it went over the question. But it's amazing how the Lord works sometimes and pulls some of that together. Some of you might find some of them as we go through this message. But the title that had been given me was, "Thou Hast Delivered Thy Soul." And that's found in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 19. And then also we'll find it in verse 21. And so I'd like to take the time to start reading in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou turn the wicked, and he turn not..." Let me read that again. "Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul." And so this message this morning points maybe a little closer to evangelism. And you may take these verses and say, "Well, that's to you as ordained men, and we have pulled another one into the team this past Friday." But it is for more than just the ordained men. It is for all of us, this message is. If we go look at these people that Ezekiel was to talk to in chapter 2, let's maybe just read them. Chapter 2, verse 3 to 8. "And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this day. They are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know what there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, Be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou shalt dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house, and thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are the most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat what I give thee. And we can go and read how he gave a roll there, and we might look at those verses through the message here. But I see in this passage here a man called to sound the warning. And if he didn't sound the warning, he had a soul, his own soul, that was going to be at stake. He was to call people to a choice. The same as what it is for us today. We bring people and we warn them, they come to a choice, to a crossroad in life. Remember, there are two destinies, heaven and hell. Heaven is open. We live in a day of grace and mercy. It is available for everyone, no matter who it is. It is a place of bliss and glory. In our Sunday school, we studied on Revelation. Remember what heaven is like? Sure we do. Place full of bliss and glory. The other place that we have, the two destinies, we have heaven, now we have hell. It's a place that is prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell is just as real as what heaven is. It is a place of torment day and night. And so life is full of choices between these two destinies. Because there is a judgment coming. But we have a choice to make, whether we're going to be in heaven or whether we're going to be in hell. There's nowhere, no place in between. And that's a serious thought. Some today are just as these children of Israel, as they're rebellious at people. They don't want to go through that door into heaven. But you get to the place where you go by your choices. You get to your destiny by your choices. And so when we read in Ezekiel chapter 3, we can highlight these two verses here. And maybe we highlight more instead of verse 19 and verse 21. Instead of those two verses, we like to, if we're not living for the Lord, we like to highlight verses 18, verse 20. You see, I'm where I'm at because somebody didn't sound the alarm. In these verses here, I don't see anything here that says that, in fact, it's the opposite, that you are going to be responsible for the choices you make, whether the alarm is sounded or not. But see, as a child of God, if I don't, as a watchman, don't sound the alarm, and as you as watchmen, don't sound the alarm to the lost, to those that are the lost about us. That's when our soul is in danger. Am I my brother's keeper, was shared in Sunday school? Well, sure we are. Sure we are. The serious part of this message is this, that the watchman that doesn't sound the alarm will have made a choice as well. He chooses where he's going to go. A choice to not care for a soul that will spend eternity somewhere and not warn him requires his life in eternity. If the watchman doesn't sound the alarm, his blood will be required. And so it's either one or two can be lost in a situation. And so we say, who is the watchman? Well, that's the ministry, right? It is. We've added Brother Greg to the team here. He is a watchman with us. He shares that responsibility with that laying on of hands that happened in his life. But it goes beyond that. It is each and every one of us. We meet people in the day. What about the Great Commission? Go ye into all the world. It doesn't say just the ordained. And I know if you look at that passage there that he's talking to those people there, but if he's, or to the disciples there, but if he was only talking to the disciples there, then it leaves us off, right? No, it's for all of us. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And yes, we're all called to a different place in that responsibility. But evangelism is more than just for the ordained. That ye in the Great Commission is for all of us. Can we say that ye is the church? And when the ye that is in the Great Commission is the church, it encompasses everyone. And in that you find that you can fulfill that whole Great Commission that's there. Baptizing happens in the church. And you can go on with that. So the ye in the Great Commission must be the church. And the church is made up of individuals. And individuals that each and every one of us carry the responsibility to evangelize. Be evangelists. To change the world about us. Now, back as we look at these verses in Ezekiel chapter 3 that we read, and we look at verse 19 and verse 21, I see two different people that the evangelism needs to happen to. It happens to the wicked, it says in verse 19. The wicked. Can we say the world? Those out there, those we meet, we need to be working at evangelizing and bringing them into the church. But verse 21 talks about the righteous man. Can we say those within the church? We are called to watch out for our brothers and to sound the warning in the church. And so the warning is not just for people out there. You know, it talks about the wicked man and the righteous man. They both, when they turn away, when they both are making wrong choices, they both need to be warned. Each one will face the consequences of the life they live, whether or not the alarm is given. There is no excuse that can be given for their choices in life. However, like I had shared before, the one that doesn't sound the alarm has serious consequences. It's eternal consequences. Each one, the wicked or the righteous man, can be called to a life of righteousness. And so as I was pondering these verses here, you know, verse 20 of this chapter 3 takes care of the once saved, always saved. That's some of our churches about us. You can find that teaching. But it matters what we do in life. Let's read that verse 20 again. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness, he's a righteous man. He's living right. But he turns from his righteousness and committed iniquity. And I lay a stumbling block before him. He shall die because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin. And his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. He's not a righteous man anymore. He's a wicked man. He's a sinner in need of repentance. And his blood is going to be required at the man that didn't sound the warning. So it takes care of the once saved, always saved. And so your choices in life take you to this. You're either saved or you're not saved. There's no in between. I listened to a message recently, close doesn't count. And it's so true. Close, almost a Christian, is not a Christian. You're either on the inside, you're saved, or you're not saved. And if you're on the outside, it puts you with the unsaved. And so as I ponder the need for evangelism in our world today, I wonder sometimes if, as I was sharing or pondering on sharing this and studying, sometimes, you know, evangelism has a strengthening effect on a church. If you don't evangelize, in my own life, I find it, you can start to it doesn't put it as clear in your mind of who you're serving. But when you know who you're serving and you're living for God, you know who you're serving and you tell somebody about it, it helps you to focus on who you actually are serving. And so I took this message here and I have 3 points that I'd like to pull out. And what is needed today for us to be faithful evangelists today? And so that we can deliver our soul from being held accountable. And I'm not saying this is an all-inclusive point, but it's 3 that came to me. What is needed today for us to be faithful evangelists? We need a vision, is the first one. I've titled each of these A Vision, and then I have the points underneath that. So the main title of these 3 points is A Vision. The first one is a vision of what the touch of the Lord has done in my life. You know, think about what the touch of the Lord did in Ezekiel's life. In chapter 1, verse 1, we have Ezekiel, and I saw the vision of God, and the heavens were opened. Chapter 1, verse 4 to 28, we have his vision that was opened to him. I don't know what the wheels all meant. Maybe some of you can explain that better than I can. But we come to verse 3 of chapter 1. The hand of the Lord was there upon him. A vision of what the touch of the Lord has done in my life is a necessity for us to be faithful evangelists today. Chapter 3, verse 14. We have these words. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. We must have the touch of the Lord and what He has done in our life. And so what is that? The touch of the Lord. We must have God in our lives. We must have applied the new birth to our lives, a life that is touched by God. Let's read some verses here in chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And he said to me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me. You catch that? The Spirit entered into him. And when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, and I heard him that spake unto me. We must have that Holy Spirit infilling in our lives. It comes with the touch of the Lord in our lives. The Holy Spirit infilling us. And so, we can, as we think about our life with Christ, our life following our new birth experience, we can be that righteous man that falls away from that new birth experience. What does it take for you to live a life, your physical life today? Well, it takes food. And so it is for us today in our spiritual life, we must feed on God's Word. And so I'd like to take the time to read in chapter 2, verse 9, and into the start of chapter 3. And when I looked, and behold, a hand was sent unto me. Excuse me. A hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mournings and woe. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. God's word must be taken into our lives, a present daily filling of our life. It's not one big meal for us as it was for Ezekiel here. Yes, he had, can we say, Ezekiel didn't all have all that one big meal. He did have a real experience here as he ate these words. But God spoke to him later on in life as well. So today, God lives and he continues to fill each and every one of us as we read God's word. I'm highlighting that because it's so important for the Christian life. It is so important. How do you view reading God's word? Do you enjoy it? Do you look at chapter 2, verse 10, and you see the lamentations and mourning and woe? It's just such a drab thing to read. It's just something I do out of drudgery, or it's so boring. Or do we view it as chapter 3, verse 3? You know, this is just a roll that he's eaten. But what did he find it like? And I did eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. You enjoy reading God's word? Do you enjoy studying God's word? How do we look at reading God's word? Well, to do evangelism, we must first have experienced it, and we need to gain a truth and understanding of God's word. So we have something to share. You can't give something you don't have. You can't. You need to study it so you know what you have to share, the warnings you need to give to the people about you and to your brothers and sisters so that you can deliver thy soul. But it starts with a vision from what the Lord has done in my life. Let's gain that vision. Let's catch that vision. Let's go to the second one. We need a vision of the Almighty, all-powerful God. Somehow in our life, we must realize God is all-powerful. He has more power than anything in the world. His power is the one that the people in Hebrews 11, the people of faith, could look at and say, our God will take us through the trials that come. He will take us faithfully through life. Because he's an all-powerful God. Even if it costs our own lives, our God is all-powerful. We must have that vision of God. Must have that view of God. And so as I pondered that, I came to chapter 2. And he's talking to Ezekiel, and he says these words in verse 6. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them. Neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou shalt dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks. Though they be a rebellious house. I see fear in this verse. You know,
Fear can take our eyes off of God. Fear can stifle evangelism. Fear can keep us from going out because we're afraid of the scorpions. We're afraid of the briars and thorns. We're afraid of the things it talks about it, the looks. Maybe we're even afraid of their rebellion. Let's bring this down to our words, or to us today. Maybe something more practical. Fear of man. I see fear of man that can keep us from being an evangelist today. Fear of man's words of what they'll say to us. What are they going to talk to me about? Or what should I talk to them? Am I going to say the right thing? What if what I'm going to share with them is taken wrong? You know, I think somebody else should do it. Because I might say it wrong. In fact, Brother so-and-so is a lot better with words. Do you experience fears like that in your life? Maybe it's a fear of what are they going to think of me? How strong do you want your church? Remember I mentioned that evangelism can strengthen the church? It'll strengthen your life. It'll strengthen my life. I'm not saying this because I feel the problem's out there. This problem, these things come close home. How big is your vision of your God? And how concerned are you for souls about you? Let's go to the third one. What other vision do we need to be faithful evangelists today? And we need a vision of His promises. Chapter 1, verse 28. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. It was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Chapter 2, verse 8. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. First part of that verse, though. Hear what I say unto thee. Remember I said we need to read God's word? There's so many truths there. There's so many promises there. And so I think we need to get a vision of God's promises to us as we think of that bow in the cloud that He gave to Noah as a sign of that promise that He made to him. And so we can look at the promises that were there, the promises that were fulfilled in the past, the promises that we can say are being fulfilled today. The same way that those were fulfilled, our God is an unchanging God, and He will fulfill the promises in the future, no matter what comes. And so, when He says He will be with us unto the ends of the earth, He'll be there. When you wonder how you can have enough strength to evangelize and deliver our souls in this situation because it looks so big from man's perspective. Just do it. God's promises are there. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's going to keep doing that. Today, and in the future, as long as time remains. Well, a few closing thoughts. Just to get help us to think. I trust our burden is that we are delivering our soul. We're sounding the alarm to the world about us. We're being those evangelists. Let's remember that to be evangelists today, it takes work, it takes time, it takes courage. A vision of our own spiritual condition. A vision of the spiritual condition of the others about us. A concern for the spiritual condition also of others. A concern that we all make it to heaven. A willingness to sound the alarm. Remember, the church cannot, dare not be silent today. No matter whether the world gives us persecution. I believe that as I look at the world about us, I believe that's pressing closer and closer to us. No matter what comes, we must sound the alarm. We must present truth and never compromise. May God help us in this our day to deliver our soul and to be willing evangelists in the day we live in. Let's kneel for prayer.